B-Pod Studios.
This is Felger.
Felgstradamus.
And Mass.
You're not going to get anybody half decent for free.
Presented by DraftKings on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Needless to say, I don't need to ask you how you feel about them not canceling the Broncos game yet. That's still on the schedule. How do you feel about that, Greg?
Oh, it's completely off the table. It goes to week 18, and the Broncos are garbage, so hopefully they don't need to play it, that it doesn't factor into the playoff seedings. But they're not playing on Sunday. It's just it cannot happen. Not after Tennessee and now this. Like, now you have to take a pause. Now you just have to say, okay, and the Patriots had the bye week after this. Like, let's just take a breath. Like, again, I come back to, what the hell is the rush? Like, that's been my whole issue. You can play the Super Bowl a month after. You can push things back. The NFL has always, from the beginning of this entire thing, have had the benefit of time. Yet they refuse to take it, ever. And if this spirals out of control and the season is truncated and it's over, like, it's the NFL's own fault because of its own arrogance, which we see time and time again.
All right, that was Greg Bedard with us on Wednesday, vehemently against the Patriots playing this Sunday against Denver. So I guess he got his wish, kind of, because they moved it to Monday at 5. I wonder how he feels about that. I bet he doesn't like it either, because he wanted this game moved to a presumptive week 18. Instead, we get rescheduled to Monday at 5 o'clock, which means Patriots pregame will come your way here on 98.5 The Sports Hub at 2 o'clock. So Felger and Maz will be preempted. Except, is this official?
Yes.
Felger and Maz are moving to the midday on Monday. So we're going to be on 10 to 2 on Monday. That's right.
Yeah, we're going to give a little bit of a boost to the midday ratings for Zolak and Bertram.
For some reason, they don't like to be called the midday show. I have no problems with it. We will be in the midday, Felger and Maz in the midday, Monday starting at 10 a.m. Murray, are you going to be up in time?
I'm not part of this endeavor.
Good for you.
Right. Yeah, I skated. It's going to be you two and Jones.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, a tornado of negativity.
That is, wow. Talk about bending over, Boston.
Oh, seriously, yeah. That's a tropical storm on steroids of negativity.
All right. So anyway, there's your day on Monday here on the 98.5 The Sports Hub. I'm sure the morning show is the morning show. Felger and Maz at 10. Patriots pregame at 2. Patriots Broncos at 5. Maz, how'd you feel about them rescheduling this game?
So I don't have a problem with them doing it. I'm okay with that if you're going to push it back a day, even two. And look, the Buffalo-Tennessee game, because I think this all happened after we were on the air yesterday, right?
Mm-hmm.
The Buffalo-Tennessee game got moved to Tuesday, and the Bills-Thursday game got moved to Sunday. Right? So now the Bills are playing Tuesday and Sunday next week. I think that's fine, too. I'm okay with that. But my only concern from the beginning was, I don't think you can just pile up games in week 18 and week 19 and say, well, we'll make them all up in 2 weeks. Because I think the puzzle pieces don't fit. We talked about that yesterday. And so, if you have to push them back a couple of days, fine. Yep. And then plow ahead. That's exactly how I would do it.
Okay, you don't think it's being risky given the incubation period and not being out of the woods? And yes, they returned all negative tests this morning. There were no more positives overnight for the Patriots. Do you think they're pushing the incubation period there, Maz?
Well, so they are. There's no question they're pushing the incubation period. But again, I'm now going by some of the information that we got from Paul Sachs of Brigham and Women's Hospital the other day. And again, he's an infectious diseases expert. And so there's been no indication to this point that the virus is transmitting from team to team in the midst of a game. Nobody on the Vikings got it from Tennessee. Now, I'm not saying it can't happen, but I think to this point, the odds are that the majority of the transmission is going to come in some other way. And so if you bottle it up on your end and you lose a few guys, then you go ahead and play without them. Go play the game. And then if that changes, then I think you adjust. But, Mike, look, and I know you hate this because of the potential popsicle headache. So I'm going to make it very easy for you.
No.
Very easy.
Right. Yeah, right.
Patriots, go. Jets, Bills. The two games that they play against each other are all postponed. It'd take 3 weeks to make those games up. You're not making them up in 2 weeks. You're making them up in three.
You got that, Mark? Can you figure that out? Can you give me the permutations of that?
Nope, sure can't. All I know is I'm glad this game is being played on Monday.
I'll take Maz's word for it. But go ahead.
So you run into these situations where, well, this team's got two games to make up. This team's got three games to make up. They got one, but they're playing Team A the first week. It just doesn't work. Now, if you want to tell me you can back the whole thing up and you want to play into May, fine. No problem. There must be a reason they don't.
Well, the solution is to pause the whole league. And then you just week 18 and 19 are what week 16 and 17 are, if
sure.
you know what I mean. Like,
sure.
So, I mean, like that would be the solution, because I do understand what you're saying, Maz, even if I don't want to get into the weeds of it. Murray, why are you glad they're playing on Monday?
I mean, I don't want to see anything shut down. I just don't. I'm being a stubborn a-hole about it, and I'm dug in on that. Unless you see, like, a massive outbreak where it's multiple teams, because it's been a player here, a player there. You've had negative tests coming back the last few days. Like, they're being cautious as they can be. If they're still clean throughout the weekend, play the game on Monday. Keep going.
Okay, thoughts on this? Tampa last night, Brady, Patriots, the whole deal. Back to you, Bruce in Maryland. Go.
Thanks, guys. Fantastic show. Really love listening to you guys. Real fast, just want to let you know that obviously you're right. Tampa's a dysfunctional sewer. Nobody's going to be disciplined down there. But I also think there's another issue, and that's Brady got a little bit misled. I think he's going to have a losing season this year, seriously. And I think the reason for that is that he thought those Pro Bowlers had all these great stats. And like Felger was pointing out brilliantly, you know, the stats are all inflated with all that garbage time and all that nonsense. So he just got kind of misled. Those guys, when Winston was desperate, they were getting all these great numbers as they were doing these crazy plays that had no meaning. That's all
so,
I have to say. Thanks.
Okay, I don't agree with that. I think Mike Evans is talented. I think he's a dope, but I think he's talented. I think Godwin can play. And I think O.J. Howard looked pretty good to me. I know he's, you know, been kind of disappointing, but that guy's got some talent. And the Jones kid in the backfield is good. And Brate can catch. And Miller is a perfect little guy for Brady. I think the talent there is fine. But it's not the issue. People just get fixated with the talent part of it. It's like, how do they play? How do they play together? Do they line up properly? Do they go off on the proper snap count? Can the offensive line stop a nosebleed? Because if they're just holding out there and jumping off sides, what does it matter what the receivers are doing? And if they're not on the same page with the quarterback, or if the coach is calling the wrong plays, right? Like all these downfield plays with Bruce Arians, if that's not going to work against the Chicago Bears pressure defense, then what does it matter what the talent is? It's like there's just so much else that goes into it other than just the pure talent. I think people get misled. Tampa still has plenty of talent. Plenty, not the issue.
And I'll tell you, honestly, I think they got plenty on defense on top of it. Their front seven is fierce. And I think their secondary's okay.
Agreed.
Not, their secondary's not great, but it's okay. They got some guys that can play well enough back there. I mean, how many years did the Steelers or the Ravens, you know, Steelers in particular, have good corners? No, they had good safety play and a great front seven. And so I just think that, but again, they're undisciplined. Chicago had a 3rd and 15 last night late in the game, and they got called for roughing the passer. Tampa Bay did.
Correct.
Tom Brady, Lavonte David, you can have the rest. The rest of that team is trash.
Lavonte David's nasty, right? But that's what Maz is talking about. And that guy that got hurt real late.
Vita Vea, yeah, and he's done for the year. He broke his ankle.
Okay, that's a big loss. But, I mean, there is talent all over that team.
Oh, my gosh, they're loaded.
They don't know how to play. Allen in Florida. Go ahead, Allen.
Yeah, first of all, I want to give accolades to Murray. When he started off today, exactly that team, just disgraceful, the coaching and everything else. You know, they were talking about the state of Florida. I'm going to tell you, in the 100,000 strip malls that they have in Florida, you can take the whole state of Massachusetts, and they're smarter than everyone in all these. I mean, it's so disgraceful. And yet, I've never been to the Panhandle, but if I was a young dentist, that's where I would move, because most of the people there don't have teeth. anyway, I want to say one of these people that, you know, in my opinion, should move to Florida. This John Tomasi, who claimed, I'm switching the subject, but I haven't talked baseball in a long time, how the
Alan,
Red Sox going to be so
you know
much
what,
better.
Alan, I love you, mean it. Have a good weekend. I just don't want to go there right now.
Yeah, see, I told you, I do that too.
But he's first of all, we were talking about how, you know, Brady's been infected by a viral load of Buccaneer, or as Maz said, he's gotten bucked. like, he's gotten dumber. I think just moving to Florida makes you, I said 15% dumber right off the top. You just become dumber when you're in Florida. It just happens to everybody. It's happened to Brady already. But he said Murray's line to begin the show. But Murray, what did you say again you want to have happen to Brady?
Oh, no, it's like the ending of One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, you know, when Chief Broom smothers poor McMurphy to take him out of his misery and set him free. That's what I felt like last night watching that game. I wanted to take the pillow and put it over Brady's head and say, I'm taking you away from all this, and then rip my television off, throw it through the window, and run to the hills. I can't watch this. If it's going to be like this, I can't watch it. And I think going back a couple of calls, if you look at their schedule, like, they're going to play Green Bay, they're going to play Kansas City, they're going to go to Vegas. That team's kind of frisky. Like, 8-8 is definitely on the table for this team.
I don't think so.
No, oh, Mike.
I'll tell you, Brady's too good. Brady's too good, and he's going to whip him into shape a little bit.
If you can remember what down it is, yeah.
Yeah, well, but, I mean, again, not that he's perfect, and not that he'll be able to change the entire operation. I mean, they'll get to a point, and then they'll crap themselves because that's just what they are, and that's what they're going to be. I think, but they aren't 8-8, Murray. There is too much talent, and Brady cares too much. I mean, I think.
Yeah. No, meanwhile, Murray's planning to Kevorkian and Brady.
Oh, God. How about Jim in Linfield? He's up next on Brady. What do you got, Jim?
Yeah. Have any of you guys counted how many times Brady got sacked?
In that game last night, I can give it to you.
It was only three last night.
He got hit a crap ton, though.
Yeah, it was only three sacks, I think. I'll double-check.
Yeah, and how many times did he get really whacked good?
Too many.
He did, right. Jim. Yeah. He did. No. Bruce Arians is going to get him killed. And this
is why I opened, too, with talking about Aikman's quote, because I made sure to, like, you know, write it down, because Aikman sounded strongly concerned about Brady's health as that game went on. And he said at one point, if he continues to take hits like this, that's when you start calling into question, how much is Tom going to be able to take and how effective can he be from one week to the next? If he takes a pounding like that, it ain't going to last.
Yeah, no. And it's not getting whacked. It's getting bucked. Sideways.
Yeah, and it's just, I feel like the coaching there, the play calling, did nothing really to alleviate that pressure or nothing to help out those tackles who, you know, were underwater by halftime. That one little back screen to Gronkowski, like, that's the kind of thing, you know, you got to do. But how about giving those guys some help? How about giving this or running it, Mac, or whatever? I just know if that were here, they would have done something to not let Mac ruin the game or not let two positions just totally submarine the thing. Maybe that would have left him weaker somewhere else, or, you know, no guarantee. The Pats have lost ugly games like that, you know, too, from time to time. But I just don't think it would have, you know, gone bad in one way and then just steam, you know, and snowballed in that one way. I just don't feel like that would have happened here.
I'll tell you, though, you make a great point quickly, because at the end of the half, I said exactly what you said a little while ago. Watching the game, it was 13-0, and then I looked up a minute and a half later, and it was 14-13, and the Bucks were behind. I went, how the hell did that happen? Like, how do you go from 13-0 up to down 14-13 going into halftime with you know, the way it did? It was a complete calamity.
Okay, you think that's hot? It's about to get steamy in here with the Heat Miser. We got Bob Soucy standing by. He'll join us next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger and Mass, number one. Because they know how to build winning relationships.
The players are arrogant dirtbags.
Dingbat.
Felger and Mass. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Dun, 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 dun.
He's Mr. Bob Soucy. He's got hot takes.
Yeah, it was miserable.
And he thinks that Felger and Mass are just a couple of snakes.
He's Mr. Bob Soucy. He's 5 foot fun.
5'2".
Here comes a take that'll scorch you like the sun.
Ba-dum, 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 ba-dum.
Hard on the delay.
Yeah, timing doesn't work.
What are you going to do?
He's Mr. Sun.
It is time now to chill with Bob Soucy, play-by-play announcer for the Patriots Radio Network, brought to you by Coors Light. Crack open an ice-cold Coors Light and chill. Coors Light, made for football, made to chill. Bob, are you there?
I'm here. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, Bobby. You sound great. You sent us a list of stuff. Boy, this email is freaking long. So if you want to get to it all, you better go quick. Start with Tampa Bay last night. What's your take?
Well, you know, you were talking about Bruce Arians. You guys have covered a lot of ground, and maybe it is about going to Florida, since Brady's most egregious mistake during my tenure calling his games was at the end of the first half of that miracle in Miami game when he took the sack when he could not afford to, as the Patriots had a chance to expand their lead. But more so, it's about Arians and the Bucs. And I was thinking back to 2016, the Cardinals team that played the Patriots in the season opener, the Jimmy G debut as a starting quarterback. That Cardinals team was pretty loaded. They were coming off an NFC Championship game appearance. They were a favorite to go to the Super Bowl. They had seemingly strengthened their defense with the addition of Chandler Jones. And they lost that game to the Patriots on a poor snap and a missed field goal at the end of the game. Their GM came down hard on the team. And that loss, in essence, in retrospect, ended their season and really ended the run for Arians in Arizona coaching a contending team, because they lost two of their next three games to terrible teams. Jeff Fisher's Rams, he got fired by the end of the year. And Rex Ryan's Bills, he was fired by the end of the year. And that team finished 7-8-1. So the mistakes that we see from the Buccaneers consistently, now that we're watching them far more closely, are really reminiscent of the kind of mistakes that some pretty talented Cardinals teams made when Arians was coaching them and falling short of expectations.
And it's, you know, I think Brady got duped a little bit by the fancy weapons, right? The talented receivers, maybe the weather, or the fact that Arians is an offensively oriented coach. I mean, I don't know, but the fact that he ignored that other stuff, sort of like fundamentally what you are as a team and the discipline and attention to detail and things like that, which Arians teams have never had. The fact that Brady ignored that piece to it is, well, surprising or coming back to haunt him or whatever, Bob.
Well, the market wasn't there as he expected it to be. And we go back to the decision that he made. Who thought that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers ultimately would even be on the short list for Brady to consider, let alone the last team standing for him? And to your point about not helping those tackles against Khalil Mack, Bill Belichick and his staff not only attack opposing teams' weaknesses, which I think every coach, especially play callers like Arians, do, but they try to take away their strengths. And in no way, watching last night's game, not that I watched every play closely and rewound the tape, did it seem like they were trying to take away the Bears' strengths. We know a focal point for the Pats going into a game like that would be, let's neutralize Khalil Mack. We're not going to let him beat us on defense. And I remember thinking about Brady and the choice that he had to make. As difficult as it was for him to play under a coach like Bill Belichick, might it be more difficult for him to play under any other coach than Bill Belichick? And maybe we're going to find out by the end of this year. There's a long way to go, and that team certainly can improve. It has the talent to do so. And I think, you know, they'll be in contention for the season because of that talent. Particularly, I think the defense, as you guys talked about, is good, even with the loss they sustained last night.
Okay.
But still, you got to wonder, you know, in the long run, is he going to regret the decision?
Okay, Bobby, who starts for the Patriots on Monday? Who do you want to start, and who do you want to succeed, and why?
Well, the signs, I think, are pointing towards Stidham. He's the guy I'd like to see start. I wish that they started him under normal circumstances, let's say, where they had a week on the field to practice and prepare.
When you really say signs, what signs?
Well, I think some of the signs, he made a morning appearance on radio early in the week as a guy, if that's a sign. I think some of the reporters, Jason Locke and Fora, has reported that his intel is suggesting that Stidham right now is the guy. Now, we don't know about Newton's situation. There is still a possibility that Cam Newton could start. One thought I had about Hoyer, perhaps, is that they're going against a defense that can be very confusing for quarterbacks. Not a talented defense, per se, especially the back end. But Vic Fangio's a coach Bill has a lot of respect for. It was Fangio's blueprint when he was the coordinator for the Bears that Belichick really adopted as the base of what the Patriots did to contain the Rams in Super Bowl 53. And they can be very confusing in what they do with their secondary, showing you one thing at the snap, and then, like with the Patriots, once the snap unfolds, dropping into a different coverage. That's going to be difficult for a quarterback really playing in his first meaningful situation. I shouldn't say meaningful, but a situation where he's going to go in and they're going to prepare a game plan in with Jarrett Stidham in mind. And Hoyer has played for the Bears with Fangio as the defensive coordinator, so he does have some of the experience from that. But I think that, you know, if we want to truly evaluate Stidham, as opposed to what I heard last Tuesday on the radio, when at the time I was listening and I said, you know, I really don't know whether he's going to be a starting quarterback for the Patriots or any other team long term, but boy, I hope he becomes a star. The way he was written off in the few minutes that I heard last Tuesday, and I started to think about the bashing.
By who? Who wrote him off?
My media brethren were taking, Tony, with regards to what was written and reported about Stidham in the spring. So, go ahead.
No, well, I mean, so we've gotten on the local media for the Stidham hype train. You have a problem with us having a problem with that.
I don't know that it was necessarily a Stidham hype train per se, but let's go back. He was the only quarterback that backed up Brady last year. They kept a rookie on the roster all season long for a team that they thought was going to contend for another Super Bowl championship that began 8-0. They must have seen something in him they liked enough to have the trust if Brady went down to turn to Jarrett Stidham in that situation. They went through this year's draft. They didn't draft a quarterback. They had a chance to at 23. They traded out of that spot. The Packers moved in, and they drafted their quarterback of the future, presumably. The Patriots didn't sign a veteran not named Brian Hoyer until early July when they got Cam Newton, who, when healthy, has been one of the game-changing players in the league since he entered the league, went healthy again. And they got him for the veteran's minimum on a one-year deal. And we didn't have a chance to see any of them in the spring because they didn't get on the field in the spring. Everything was done virtually. And then I would say that the hype train, if the hype train ever existed, really never got out of the station once training camp began, because I think it was pretty apparent and it was pretty well documented that in the early days of training camp, it appeared, even before Stidham reportedly was injured and went to the hospital for the hip/groin, that Cam Newton was going to be the clear front runner before too long if he wasn't already.
Did you say reportedly injured? Is that what you said?
And did you say there wasn't really a hype train? Let me read you a quote from one Jeff Howe, one of the many reporters that covers the Patriots, if you would, Bob. To be clear, I think he is a star, and he's going to be a big-time franchise quarterback. I've felt that way for a couple of years now. I'm totally.
Is that Jeff Howe's quote, or is that Jeff Howe quoting someone else?
Well, he's quoting the throwing coach.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah, okay. He's reporting what he's been told. Jim Nagy, who's a scout for the Patriots in the past and ran the Reese's Senior Bowl, had very, very high praise for Jarrett Stidham. And we don't know what Jarrett Stidham is. He hasn't had the opportunity to go into game where he's had snaps to prepare for the appearance. Last week, again, I'm not going to defend the stats. He made a beautiful throw to Harry, and he made a lot of throws that were not so beautiful. But as the third-string quarterback, when's the last time he's taken any significant number of snaps for the Patriots?
Yeah, I think that's a chicken. I think that's a chicken and egg thing, Bob. You know, Bob, maybe he's not getting the snaps because he blows. Let me tell you, Bob, I don't like your
attitude this week, Tony. Let me ask you a question, Tony. You're a guy who, by the way, before the Cincinnati Bengals game in Week 5, when I tried to convince you that he was a good kid and would be a good quarterback, you, not Mike. You were the one who smirked and questioned. Yeah, you said, I'm sure he's a good kid, speaking of Jimmy Garoppolo. But you doubted him in those moments when I talked to you on the air and off. And as far as Garoppolo is concerned, did he light the world on fire in his first extended play against the Buffalo Bills in the final game of the 2014 season?
I have no recollection of that, Bob. what I remember is him going into Kansas City early on in Week 4 of his career and looking pretty good. That's what I remember.
He looked pretty good. It's pretty nice when you can throw to Rob Gronkowski, isn't it?
Stidham blows, Bob.
It's more like the Gronk we knew and loved.
Stidham blows. It's over.
Come on. There was a pretty good sell job there on the player.
Jarrett Stidham was a first-round pick. New England is amazing at evaluating the quarterback position.
Thank you.
That's Chris Sims saying he would have been in the first round if he had held off one more year on his draft eligibility. So that was what was being said about him. Yeah. Next thing you know, they sign a veteran. He doesn't even win the backup job. He's in street clothes the first three games. And, I'm sorry. Like, I think there's a pretty clear arc to that story.
We believe in Jarrett Stidham.
There's still time. Bob, what do you think about Monday? Just give me one quick key to the game.
Key to the game for the Patriots against the Broncos? Protect whoever's back there at quarterback, and don't lose track of the time and the timeouts. Don't make the mistakes that beat you, like the Patriots did against a very good team who was very beatable last Monday night.
Do you think there's any chance that Newton plays?
I think there's a chance. Yeah, absolutely. You know, based on the timetable, Monday would be, I think, the 10-day mark if he remains asymptomatic. And, you know, there's, I think, a possibility of him playing, particularly since, you know, they're not on the field right now as we speak. So if everything's being done virtually, and Bill said to, I think it was Mike Giardi, that Cam has been able to participate in the virtual meetings. Well, he's preparing every bit as much as the other two quarterbacks. When they get on the field tomorrow, perhaps, you know, maybe, you know, they'll run some plays with Newton in mind. Maybe they'll run some plays with the idea that Newton's not going to be available. But I think that there is a possibility. I wouldn't rule anything out.
It's the first smart thing you've said all segment.
So they are practicing tomorrow.
Well, I'm assuming so, because we only know that the facility has been shut down today. And again, what's been reported is there was the team's decision, not the league's decision. Tomorrow will depend on the tests. One has to presume, because the test came back negative today. But there seems to be a lot of concern about the incubation period with regards to Gilmore. I don't know if you guys heard Judy Batista's report, but I thought it was pretty interesting, to say the least, where she reported that if a player tests positive who is known to have been in close contact with Gilmore, well, the game will go on as scheduled. If it's a player that they don't have on that list of those in close contact with Gilmore, then that player will be considered an outlier, and then Monday's game would be in jeopardy. So if the tests are negative tomorrow and the Patriots have the green light to practice, you know, one would think they're going to want to get on the field for at least one practice, then a walkthrough before they play the game on Monday.
Okay, Bob, thanks so much. We look forward to the call Monday at 5 here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Thanks again, Bobby.
See you, Bob.
Thanks, guys.
Okay, so he said the rumblings on Stidham. So Stidham.
Jarrett Stidham.
So Stidham did the EEI interview.
I gather that's right.
Jarrett Stidham.
I mean, I didn't know that either, yeah.
So, I mean, I wonder if that is a tell. I didn't know that.
Well, and Jimmy Stewart, what's your phone been saying?
Okay, so I was just going to ask, we also have intel, which I've stupidly, again, forgotten about. Stu, what is your phone saying?
Jarrett Stidham's the starter unless Cam Newton can go on Monday.
And that's what your phone says?
Yep.
Okay.
I don't like it.
I hate it. I think it's terrible.
Why?
I believe in Brian Hoyer.
Oh, attaboy.
I don't believe in either one of them, but I'll take Hoyer over Stidham.
I just don't want Newton. I'm not ready for the chaos to end yet. I'm enjoying the chaos. I'm enjoying the bleep show that is these two guys, and like they're going to win either way. I think. I'm not worried about the outcome of the ball game. They can just win on defense. And meanwhile, just again, the chaos that the quarterback thing is causing, I'm frankly enjoying, including last night, including
Tom. Other detail?
Oh yeah, go ahead.
Stidham will have a quick hook.
Okay, well, I'd say so, since he blows.
Good.
Like, I mean, yeah, okay.
The coin flip a suck with either guy.
Yeah, can they hook him in the pregame?
Promise, back to your phones right after Murray's update.
Jarrett Stidham.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
It's the show the crowd goes wild for. It's Felger and Mass, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
All right, right back to your phones. As promised, some of you have been waiting patiently. Thank you for doing so, including Pat in D.C. Pat, thanks for hanging on. What do you got?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I wanted to ask you guys about what the Patriots can do to increase their quarterback depth now that they're stuck with Stidham, who doesn't seem to be able to compete at an NFL caliber, and Hoyer, who wets himself in the red zone every game. Are they going to go try to sign someone off another team's practice squad like Matt Moore or Trevor Siemian, or are they going to bring in someone like Colin Kaepernick for a tryout, maybe even someone off like an XFL roster?
Okay, so like in the short term, Greg Bedard was on earlier, Maz, and said they have to look at their depth chart right now for this season, because if Newton gets hurt again, they can't trust these guys, or they have to, you know, assess that, take a real hard look at that. Trevor Siemian's out there.
Ooh.
Well, but
let's get excited, everyone. Another guy you talked yourself into being halfway decent a few years ago for some dumb reason.
Okay. Did I?
Yeah, there was a Trevor Siemian moment for okay, old Mikey Felger.
Well, I was just willing it to happen for Don. I think I was probably trying to defend my John Elway thing, which again I've given up on that as well.
Don't they have the guy? They added this Jake DeLaga, or however the hell you say his last name.
So I don't know, but Trevor Siemian to me feels like someone Bill could coach up to just, you know, can I just get someone to throw the ball out of bounds on third down to bring the kicker on? Like, that's all I need. Can Trevor Siemian do that?
I mean, I would take a shot because I think what you know now is that the two guys you have probably can't. So to me, I'm sort of with Greg on this one. I think you need some sort of insurance plan behind Newton. The likelihood from the very beginning was that he was going to be able to play all 16 games. Now you add COVID into the mix? Fail. Their backup quarterback situation is a fail. I don't think that's wrong.
Throw Edelman back there.
Steve in the car, go.
Guys, I love post-game, and I think it gives a great gut reaction to the different markets in the marketplace. Were you able to watch the post-game with Arians and Brady last night? Or
Well, we have the clips of them talking about the play. Go ahead.
Okay, so I'm just going to cut to it. I'm very surprised, number one, that Tampa Bay has that many reporters. But the question that Brady was asked was, you came from a disciplined team organization in New England. Do you think you can inject that type of discipline in this team? That was a question for his coaches,
it's
number
a great
one.
Question.
And number two, Bruce Arians.
And what did he say? Steve, what did he say?
Well, he deflected it. You know, he did his best to deflect it. You know, but what Bruce Arians did on the fourth down was, did you know it was fourth down? And he said yes. And he had his head was down, his whole demeanor was down. I implore Patriots fans to just watch post games around the league because.
Okay, well, Steven, let me stop you. The fourth down thing is what I focused on. I didn't watch the rest of the pressers. So it was just related to the fourth down stuff. That is an excellent question, you know, to Brady. Do you think you can instill some of the discipline and attention to detail that was, you know, such a hallmark here? And if Brady's not going to answer it, I will. I mean, I think he can to a point, right? And I think it will get better for Tampa. It has to. He has to have an effect on his teammates. It has to rub off some over the course of the whole year, Murray. So, like, I don't see 8-8 for that team. I think they're going to get better, and they're going to tighten it up some. But I don't know how much stink he can get off of that, you know, operation. There's only so much one player can do, even a quarterback.
Well, so that's true. But again, I think part of the reason they brought him there, all that stuff that Arian said at the beginning, you know, Tom Brady walks into the room, there's credibility right there. Like all of that, you know, it inspires everybody to be better. And I think there's a certain amount of truth to that. And then you forget that you forget what down it is at the end of the game. Like, so I just think, you know, it makes Brady look like a jackass, too. Now, I buy into a lot of that Brady stuff. At the end of the day, though, if the coach isn't holding those guys accountable, there's nothing Brady can do.
Right. You can help a little bit, but if it's a revolting stench like it is down in Tampa, there's only so much you can do.
Seriously. Mary in Manchester. Hi, Mary.
Hi, Mike. So I have a comment and a question. I thought the game was demoralizing last night, and I agree with Jim. I don't know how much more I can watch of it because I fully expected them to lose, where normally I would expect Brady to win that game. But my comment, my question is a little bit more technical. There was a point in the first half of the game where they were in fourth and one, and they were deep into their own territory, and they went for it. And later on in the game, they were again fourth and one, and they didn't go for it, and they were closer to the goal line. And if they had gone for it, they would have potentially gotten the touchdown and, I think, win the game. So I don't really understand. What did you think of that? Who makes the decision? Does Brady? Does Arians? What did you think of that?
Okay, well, that's Arians, but I'm glad you brought up the one in the first half.
Oh, was that stupid?
Fourth and one from their 20. In the it was their second drive?
Yeah, it was early. It was early.
What the hell was that?
Stupid. I mean, they got it, but just barely.
I mean, they did it with the most unstoppable play in NFL history, the Brady QB sneak. I kind of liked it.
I mean, I get it, but Jesus.
Stupid.
Like, what were you going for there? And then the fourth and one she's talking about, it must have been in field goal range and they kicked three. I mean, that's the answer.
It was at the end of the game and the three put him ahead. If you go for it and you don't get it. And there was, what, 5 minutes left in the game? Four maybe at that stage?
Yeah, I'm just calling it up so I get it exactly. So that was a fourth and one that they lined up to kick that. Let me just see something. That was, fourth and one at the Chicago 7 with 4:52 left. So, I mean, let me ask you, what do you do there? You're facing Nick Foles, who sucks.
You take the
I'm sorry.
Three.
He does. There's 4:52 left, and you're, you know, it's a chip shot field goal. Made it a 25-yard field goal, but it was 4th and 1. What do you do?
You take the three, and then you ask your defense to stop them, which they did.
Which they did, that's right.
They did. And then you got the ball back, and Numbnuts, the head coach, decides to run three plays in 16 seconds.
16-second drive. 16-second drive. They ran it on first down and then gave up and then threw two passes, incomplete. The drive took 16 effing seconds.
I mean, unbelievable. So you ask your defense to make the stop. They do. And then you ask your defense to make another one. Well, let's just make another one since we stopped them the first time. Let's just burn 16 seconds off the clock. Like, that might have been the dumbest thing that happened in the whole game. So to me, you got to kick the field goal there. You only, you know, you're down one. Yeah, right. You go up 2 with the kick. And so take your chances. It's been that kind of game anyway. And as you said, the only points that Chicago had really scored to that point was garbage at the end of the first half anyway. I mean, they had a field goal after that, but it was all garbage. Your defense, they had dominated the game. It's unbelievable that they blew that game, those donkeys.
It's Tampa. I hope you're having fun, Tommy.
Wow. Well, again, talk about getting bucked. They're totally bucked. They got bucked sideways, bucked backwards, bucked upside down.
Yeah, you know, we got it. A long commercial-free segment is next.
Dugger and Mass. For sports. Austin's home for sports. 98.5. The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com. Your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Never be left out of the conversation.
Never, not once.
Never, not once.
Never, not once.
Belger.
Good God, man. Have some pride.
Mads.
The guy's psychotic.
98.5 Sports Hub.
Stop it.
I wouldn't sleep on Brian Hoyer.
You're a bum and you suck. Yes, you do, Brian Hoyer.
I think they're going to be just fine with Brian Hoyer.
Play fake to Burkett. Throw down the middle. Shoots all. Intercepted. Thornhill, the safety, with his 4th interception.
I wouldn't sleep on Brian Hoyer.
Shotgun snap to Hoyer in the pocket. He looks to the middle. Now he looks left. He's got to get away from Clark. Oh, and Hoyer is sacked back at the 27-yard line.
You couldn't have more horrendous sequence to end the half. As those two.
I think they'll be fine. I think they got a shot in this game because I think Hoyer will make the plays they need him to make.
Hoyer under pressure. He's hit from behind. The ball is loose, and the Chiefs have it. Kansas City comes away with a takeaway and another missed opportunity for the Patriots deep in Chiefs territory.
Inexcusable.
I wouldn't sleep on Brian Hoyer.
I think they're going to be just fine with Brian Hoyer.
No, they weren't because he sucks, and it's time for your blood. Because you said that Bill would win 10 games with this stiff.
Yeah, that's how we began the week, the football week anyway, on Tuesday, my Hoyer take. Now here we are, they're set to play on Monday. If Cam Newton's not available, Maz, who should start that ball game for the
Hoyer.
Patriots? Jimmy Stewart, who should start that ball game for the Patriots if they play Monday at 5?
Brian Hoyer.
Murray, your thoughts?
Jarrett Stidham. It's Jarrett Stidham. Or a roll of paper towels. Anyone but that stiff. You can't put that guy back out on the field and have his teammates expect to win the game or not have... Like, you, those guys just watched that game that they could have and probably should have won if it wasn't for one player. Brian Hoyer. He's a failure once he gets into the red zone. The numbers also back up that he's bad against bad teams, too. He can't do it as a starter. You want to maybe bring him off the bench? Fine. If Stidham sucks that bad.
He will.
But you cannot start Brian Hoyer in this game.
Murray, so you think that they'll lose
Mike,
the locker
room. Start on Monday.
Oh, Brian Hoyer.
Okay.
Oh. I was hoping just to facilitate there, but Brian Hoyer. Brian Hoyer, Brian Hoyer, Brian Hoyer. Murray, you're saying you'll lose the locker room, though, if you go back to Hoyer?
Yeah, I think that's part of it. Yeah, I do.
Okay, well, what? I mean, how do we know how they feel about Stidham? I mean, maybe they've looked at Stidham for a while here and said, this kid doesn't get it. You know, maybe the distrust in Stidham runs deeper and has been there longer.
Maybe
he
acts more like a fan in the room than he does a leader of a team.
Said Jimmy Stewart's phone. Right? So, I mean, like, so maybe the distrust with Stidham is more, you know, deep-rooted. And Hoyer just reminded all of us how badly he sucks. But they had sort of forgotten it for a while. But they've distrusted Stidham for a long time. Isn't that possible, Maz?
Oh, of course it is. Absolutely. I just, you know, to me, there was an opportunity there for Stidham to show them something, and he didn't. And I think that that is really the backstory behind this whole thing. Cam Newton is really a Stidham story. It's all a Stidham story. Because the whole idea was, and maybe it was a little early for him, but the door opened and he wasn't ready for it. And based on what I saw against the Chiefs, he's still not ready for it.
All right, let's grab one quick phone here before the top of the hour. And Chris Gasper, we're mostly football today, but Paul Revere wants to slip in a little baseball here. It is Agenda-Free Friday. It is driven by the Bernardi Auto Group. So go ahead, Paul.
Yeah, hi, guys. Trevor Bauer was in town this week. What do you think about bringing him in on possibly a short-term deal, like 2 years, $80 million with an option for a third? Someone that's probably going to be the National League Young Award winner.
All right, so why do you do that, though? He's the best free agent on the board. Someone's going to offer him, like, 8 years, $250 million. Why is he taking 2 years? Like, of course, yes, I'd like to sign him for 1 year and $10 million. But he's a free agent. Like, what makes you think you're going to get him for that kind of deal? He's in town. Has he been tweeting that?
He was in town, apparently, he had a plane ticket to Boston, right?
Yeah,
Murray,
that was like about a week ago,
Yeah, so he's also been hyping up, like, every, you know, a potential deal with every team in the league, for crying out loud. Now, look, on the right deal, would I take Bauer? Yeah, sure.
1 year, $40 million, Maz.
Yeah, absolutely. 1 year? Yeah. But let me just tell you that he's going to disappoint you. I'll tell you right now, he's got good stuff. He's a meathead. A complete rockhead.
Here's the latest, because again, that started last week with the plane ticket to Boston. Then yesterday, it was, this year's Padres team is scary. Imagine if they had pitching. He said the same thing about the Yankees. And then today, hey, is D.C. a fun city? If meetings don't last all day, what should I check out? Any suggestions at Nationals? Like, he's just...
Oh, what a piece of work this guy is.
So when I say he's a meathead, he might be really book smart, but I think in terms of, like, you know, day-to-day dealing with, I think he's one of these guys that you look at and go, this guy's just off his freaking rocker. Like, I don't think there's any two ways away. He's a different cat.
Okay, we've got Chris Gasper standing by, I think. I'm not there. Is he? Okay.
So before we get to Gasper, can I just ask you a question quickly?
Yeah, please do.
Are you watching porn or something or what? Because you are breathing heavy, man.
Am I?
Yeah, the whole show is... I can't even recreate it.
So you're either working out, you have COVID, or you're watching porn. I'm not of those three things.
I'm not watching porn. I feel fine, but that doesn't mean anything. Is my mic a little hot? Is that what's going on?
I think the mic's very hot. It's right under your nose, and it's kicking it all up.
Seriously.
Let's see what I can do about
this. I have to send you one of those man groomers. You're blowing your nose hair right out on the air, for crying out loud.
I sound like Trump on Fox News last night, like all the hacking everywhere. I'll do what I can. Okay, I'll see if I can rein it in. Meanwhile, here comes Gasper. 90 seconds, no commercials, and we're right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.